Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world. How are you doing? This is Samuel Tolley, and today I want to do something a little different. I want to start a new series that I call Theological Thursdays, where I can get into more of a theological approach instead of the regular social-political situation. And, you know, some people say, well, Sam, you know, here you are, you're arguing against Democrats all the time, and then you're arguing with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and now why do you want to add atheists to it? Because today's topic is an argument against atheism. And it's not that I want to argue with anyone. You know, that's not my purpose. That's not my goal. That's not my desire. My desire is to further the gospel of Jesus Christ and to help everyone understand that there is a God in this world that we are accountable to. And so it brings you into all walks of life and all kinds of people and all kinds of spheres of influence that you have to deal with. And unfortunately, there's many of us in the church today that do not want to deal with it. They don't want to ruffle feathers, as it were. They don't want to upset people. Well, the truth is upsetting. Jesus was the truth, or is the truth, and he upset all kinds of people. And I always like to use the analogy as far as trying to get along with people and make them feel better. I mean, any parent worth their salt, you know, if they have a little kid, they know that the little kids aren't cognizant of everything that they need to be. If little Johnny wants to run out in the middle of the street and play in the middle of the street because it's fun to little Johnny, any parent worth their salt is going to say, no, Johnny, you can't run out in the street because you might get hit by a car. I mean, that's just common sense. Of course, today, common sense is lacking a lot because we have grown people that are allowing their children to get mutilated. And we have so-called medical and psychological and psychiatric professionals that are telling people stupid stuff like, well, do you want a live son or a dead daughter? When these kids are confused with their sexuality. And so some dumb parents will go ahead and listen to these so-called professionals that have lost common sense and go along with them and mutilate their children. And now everybody has a lifetime of problems. That's a different topic. But in the topic of atheism, now we're dealing with people that say God doesn't exist or people that do not believe that God exists. Now, I personally do not think there's any such thing as an atheist. There are people, I grant it, that think or want to think themselves to be atheists. And I believe that the definition of atheism is someone who believes that God does not exist. However, there are those that claim to be atheists that adamantly tell you that God does not exist. And they refute their own argument by their statement. And I'll tell you how. In order for you to positively know that God does not exist, that means you must know everything within time and space and outside of time and space. And if you knew everything within time and space and outside of time and space, then you're God himself. Nobody knows that. But I'll give you my argument. Another reason, well, there's two other reasons why I don't think atheists exist. And we'll go through them. But first of all, God has commanded Christians to try to reach people to defend the gospel, but to do it in a manner that is civil and decent. Most of the atheists that I ran into are condescending, belligerent, hostile, and they make jokes of Bible believers. Now, I know one or a couple that have tried to refrain from that sort of activity. They've demonstrated a level of mutual respect. Now, I respect atheists. I respect everyone as a human being, a person that was made in the image of God. And as a believer and a disciple of Jesus Christ, like I said, it's my call, like it should be every Christian's call, to try to help those that do not believe or understand what they should believe in pertaining to God. But as it states in 1 Peter 3 and 15, let me clear the board here so we can see what we're talking about. But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, and do it with gentleness and respect. Christians are supposed to be respectful, courteous, and as much as possible, understanding and kind to those we're trying to reach. It's not always easy to do. We're human like everybody else. When people talk crazy to us, we get offended at times. But we are called by our master to be gentle and respectful. And that's what those of us that are true disciples of Jesus Christ try to do. But God is not as gentle in his approach to unbelievers. You know, now we dare not try to hold God to the standards he requires of us, because we are the creation and he is the creator. You know, now he provides the same evidence to unbelievers as he provides to believers concerning his deity. But he's not about the business of trying to prove who he is in the Bible. He basically states who he is. And if you go through the Bible and if you look through it and you examine it and you test what's in it, it's hard to dispute against it. I dare not. But whereas we're supposed to be a little bit more gentle and kind, God states unequivocally about those who do not believe in his existence. He said, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Now, you atheists, let me just let you know, you're not the only one who's corrupt or abominable or does not do good. For we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God until we accept the loving and saving grace of Jesus Christ. So when God says that about you, he's talking not just about you, he's talking about us too. However, he's unequivocal and unapologetic in the fact that he says that if you do not believe that he is who he says he is and that you have a creator, you're a fool. So keep that in mind as we go along. And not only are you a fool in God's eye, you don't have an excuse for not believing that he exists. No one does. everyone. He has demonstrated his existence. Let's look further. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Very significant scriptures here. For the wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God, I don't want you to take it lightly, because I know that the atheist doesn't believe, or supposedly doesn't believe, that God exists. And for those who decline to appreciate, accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ, they're going to experience the wrath of God for eternity. They're going to experience hell and the lake of fire, where the worm doesn't die and the fire isn't quenched. And they're going to be tormented day and night forever. I'm just telling you what the Bible talks about. I didn't put those scriptures up there, but I'm going to be clean, which I'm not going to sit over here and try to, as we used to say in the old days, pussyfoot around with you, or try to play games, or try to placate you. I want you to understand, I like people to give it to me straight. The Bible is not talking about, oh, Jesus loved, well, he does love everybody. He died for everybody. But those who refuse to accept his atoning grace are going to accept the everlasting fate that they pick for themselves. So he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That's not just atheists, that's everyone in that category. Who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. This is the point one, about why I don't believe that there's such thing as an atheist. God says that these unrighteous people, which atheists being included in, suppress the truth of his existence. You can try to deny it. You can try to hide it. You can try to think it doesn't exist. But God says you have it. And I think at the end of this, I'm going to be able to prove that you do. But he says people suppress it, the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. So if the God that I'm speaking about in this Bible is real, then he's saying that he has revealed himself. It's called general revelation. Everyone is a witness to it. Everyone. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. God is saying that through nature, through time and space, through the world and the activities all around mankind, you can see that he exists. You can go to different tribes and people that have never seen this book or read it or understood it. They know that there's a creator. They understand that there's something going on that is beyond them. That they're not in control of, and that is in control of them and everything else around them. So either God is telling the truth or the atheist has the truth. They're both not true, and I think the atheist will agree with me on that point. But let's step outside into that for a second. Let's take a look at this metaphysical universe, this time and space that we exist in right now. So I'm an organic creature. I'm speaking with organic creatures. And the definition in Webster is 1828. And I like to go old school in my encyclopedias before wokeism and all this other stuff preeminated society. Organic, pertaining to an organ or to organs, consisting of organs or containing them as the organic structure of the human body or of plants. Inorganic, devoid of organs, not formed with the organs or the instruments of life, as the inorganic matter that forms the earth's surface. So here we're talking, this is from the American Dictionary of English Language, Noah Webster, 1828. So this is inorganic. This is inorganic. What you're looking through me through is inorganic. And everybody understands that. So we got the organic and we got the inorganic, right? But the atheist, with this evolutionary mindset, this Darwinistic mindset, would have me believe that everything originated from the same something. And you know what? I agree with that. Everything did originate from the same something. I think we agree on that point. But the differences lie that they believe that everything originated by some unfound and unintelligent process. Although I've had atheists that tell me, well, you know, everything on earth might have came from stardust or something from outer space. Well, that still begs the problem. Where did all that stuff come from? And, you know, and I've had atheists tell me that, well, nobody believes that everything started from nothing. But that begs another problem. Then where did it come from? You know, if everything is by chance and it's from an unintelligent source, what is that unintelligent source? And how did what came became intelligent over time? How do you get intelligence from unintelligent? How do you get organic from inorganic? So they want us to believe that this something through what, gases or whatever, through millions and eons and billions of years, all of a sudden produce organic matters that somehow, maybe the Big Bang, exploded into or developed moons and planets and stars and formed a solar system that you can look at it and it operates by clockwork. Whereas there isn't an atheist in the world that would accept William Paley's argument. I mean, you know, about putting a pieces of a watch or a clock together in a bag or something, let it sit around for a billion years and it all of a sudden puts itself together. But we have this solar system that operates by clockwork on time. And it's supposed to be by chance. That's fascinating. Then, on top of this solar system, in the midst of it, created a planet called Earth. This planet called Earth is situated exactly at the right exact distance between here and the sun. And it's tilted at a 23.5 degree axis on its rotation, which allows it to create food and warm throughout the whole thing, except for maybe the poles, around the clock. And if the earth was just a little bit closer to the sun, it would burn up. Or just a little bit further away, we freeze to death. Or if the axis was tilted, it would destroy the climates that we expect, like we expect fall to go into summer. Is it summer? Look at me, Sam. And winter to go into spring. And it happens just like clockwork. Just like clockwork. Just like that, all those gears and Paley's broken up bag of clock parts. And yet, the atheists want us to believe that this was just by chance, that this organization, that this synchronization just happened by chance. Well, they want us to believe that because they are suppressing the evidence in their mind. They are suppressing the truth as God stated clearly in Romans. Because he said, not only are we the exact right distance from the sun, not only is it the right angle in the rotation, there's an ozone layer about 10 miles above the sun. The earth. The ozone layer that the climate crazies are trying to tell you is getting destroyed. And by the way, don't worry about climate change. It's nonsense. God is in control of the climate. I wish I would have pulled that scripture up. God is in control of the climate. Man has no control of the climate. You do not have to worry about the climate or the man destroying the earth. God made it clear that he said he made the earth in Genesis for man, and he told us to use it, to subdue it, to use the resources in it, and to fill it. So don't worry about this overpopulation nonsense while we're killing off millions of babies. But God also said, and I don't know where the scripture is right now, I'm not going to worry about it, but he also said that this earth is being reserved for fire in the last days. He said that he's reserving it. So this nonsense about man destroying earth is just part of one of Satan's lies. Getting back to what I was saying about the earth and its distance from the sun and all that good stuff. The ozone layer protects us from the sun's ultraviolet rays, which, if it wasn't there, would kill us. And the ozone layer is poisonous to us. How is all that possible? That we got this layer of ozone is up there to help protect us from the sun's ultraviolet rays, but at the same time, the thing is poisonous to us and below, and we're encompassed with the life-giving oxygen. All this is just by chance, says the atheist. There's nothing to explain it. It just happened. Like, to me, you're throwing, I don't know. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not good at that. But think about throwing 25 sevens in a row. It ain't gonna happen. But I'm sure the calculation is way more extreme than that. But the bottom line really is this. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it, says Psalm 24:1. This is God's plan. If there's a God and he created the planet and he created us, then he's taking care of it. It's designed the way he wanted to design. It's operating the way he wants to operate. And he's taking care of it. Even the deists, and there were some deists that were part of the Constitutional Congress of this country, they understood that there was a God. They may not understand who he was, But a deist is someone that says, well, God threw everything into motion and left it. I don't believe that. But these folks had enough intelligence to understand that all this stuff didn't just happen. And the coordination and control of this stuff isn't just happening by itself. The earth is the Lord's. And for you Christians to understand that the earth is the Lord's and all those who dwell within it, you and I have a responsibility to share the gospel, to proclaim his word to everyone, to defend it and to not shy away from it. No matter what woke nonsense comes out of anybody's bill, whether it's the president or the guy across the street. So, I got some common sense questions I want. Or I say there's some common sense questions the atheist is going to need to answer. And one of the atheist questions got to be, they got to explain how something just appeared out of nowhere. And they got to be able to explain what it is and where it came from and how did it come from there and why. They just say, well, it just happened. Or I don't know what else I can say. Well, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have our explanation. We were given, it was given to us by God. The atheists need to explain how the inorganic became organic after they explain how the something just became everything and made a universe. And it was all in order. And you know, it's funny when you think about it. It's not just that the inorganic became organic. I mean, you know, they always love to show these hypothetical ideas about some creature in the ocean, you know, some fish got, you know, crawled out of the ocean and all of a sudden it developed into some kind of land mammal. Or I mean, animal, whatever, and then eventually it became this and became that, and they got that diagram of these weird little monkeys that developed on up until became a man. Well, today with that weird diagram, they should have it going up and came into a man, and then the man started cutting off his testicles and became less than a man, and instead of evolution, we got the devolution thing going. But getting back to the evolutionary thing, they always love to get there. But what they don't talk about, or at least I haven't heard much of discussion, is how the organic split to plant life. You got the organic going one direction to plant life, the other direction to flesh life. Hell, you might as well throw in the middle there insect life. They don't get in. I see some stupid diagrams where some reptile developed feathers. But I haven't seen anything where they're explaining to me how plant life split off. Because plants are alive, folks. Trees, flowers, fruit, vegetables, all that stuff is alive. But that stuff is not flesh. What does the Bible say? It says in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 11, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind, on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants, yielding seeds according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Well, we got an explanation. God has given us an explanation. And I haven't seen any reason why I shouldn't trust what he had to say. He just said he made it on the third day of creation. And we can argue about how long the days were and all this stuff. I don't have to get into all that. Bottom line is, he said he made it. And you guys talk about fish turning into men eventually. Or it's like some theologian, like the joke, from the goo to the zoo to you. But I'm not trying to go there. Well, let's move on and see about the other type of life. And I'm just skipping in Genesis. You can feel free to read the whole chapter by yourself. Chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God saw, let me get my ruler. I started losing my spot. Okay. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to living creatures according
what?
According to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and the beasts on the earth according to their kinds, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the grounds according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So God said he made the birds, he made the fish, he made the insects. He said he made all that stuff. But you guys said it all evolved. It all just happened. And you guys don't explain why we are not part insect, or part bird, or part cow, or part plant, or any of that stuff. Because you guys are suppressing God's truth and trying to justify your existence without having to justify having a creator. In which case, if you justified or you understood you had a creator, you would understand you have a moral responsibility to that creator. And that creator will hold you accountable. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that creator is going to hold you accountable whether you suppress his existence or accept his existence, because he made it clear that no one has an excuse. Absolutely no one. Like I said earlier, those people that sit over here and say, well, what if they never read a Bible? What if they, you know, they were lost in the middle of some Aborigine tribe or some ancient Amazon area and they never got it? God revealed himself through nature. And to whom much is given, much is required. You guys, the folks that I'm talking to, have access to God's word. You guys have the ability to take it, to dissect it, to look at it, to read it. And to see if what he said is true. Those people, they're going to be held accountable too, but not to the same standard you are. They're going to be accountable based on the general revelation of knowledge they have from their environment. All people in all parts of the world, whether they know the Bible or not, know certain things because it was implanted in them. They know that butchering little babies is murder. I'm not even talking about the ones in the womb. I'm talking, even the folks that believe in butchering babies in the womb will say that you need to go to jail if you get a three-month-old live baby, lay him on the floor and stomp him to death with your foot. Yet, those people suppress God's moral law by saying it's okay to cut that little baby up before it comes out of the womb. They're suppressing God's law too. And they're going to be held accountable too. You don't think, or I guess maybe you don't even think that way, but I can tell you, the butchery of billions or millions of babies throughout this world is not going to be without cost. There's going to be costs to be paid. The Bible talks about the souls of those, you know, waiting for the judgment. Anyway, let's continue. The Bible talks about, or shall I say, the atheist needs to explain not only how God created man, but how God gave man the ability to obtain special revelation, the ability to reason and think. Man is the only creature who ponders his existence. The ape doesn't do that. The dog doesn't do that. The cow doesn't do that. The frog doesn't do that. Those scorpions and ants and bugs outside my house doesn't do that. Only man, even the atheist, ponders his existence. Oh, he might try to say, well, you know, when you did, you're gone. Because he's suppressing it. The last thing this person wants to do is to unsuppress it. Because if he, the moment he unsuppresses his existence is the moment that he lets in his mindset accountability. And anyone, just like the person that's for killing babies in the womb, that says, it's not a baby. It's just a blob. It's a potential human. God said in Psalms 139 that he knit us together in the womb. Even folks, many folks, I dare say, that claim to be Christians have found the capacity or the ability to suppress their thought frame on what God says and who God is versus people that kill and butcher the unborn. Or between them and the people that kill and butcher the unborn is politicians who could either stand for the life of the unborn or stand against it. And yet many of these people who say they're Christians will vote for this politician knowing that this politician is going to advocate the killing of the unborn. But they feel as though they're protected because that's not what they personally believe in. And yet, they've suppressed their responsibility to expose that politician or to tell that politician, no, I cannot support you because you offend God. But for other reasons, they suppress too. That part of them that God will hold accountable because they have the power to influence that politician and they refuse to do it. And that politician feels justified in taking that stand to support and protect the people that will butcher the unborn, knowing that they got these other folks over here that claim to represent God protecting them. And so these politicians will even walk into the house of God feeling confident and protected because the people refuse, those people that protect them refuse to stand up and say, God told us to abstain from all evil, even the very idea of it. They're going to be held accountable too. The Bible said we're going to be held accountable for every word we say. And this idea that, well, you know, God's a God of love, he forgives me. Or so man is so twisted that he can even go around thinking that, you know what, I can do all this and that stuff, and all I got to do is ask God to forgive me. I'm good. You know, and people love to say, well, you know, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. And that's a very dangerous thing. The Bible talks about it's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of God. And God also says the fact that who knows the heart is it's more wicked than anything. As a Christian, we need to humble ourselves and we need to think about how when Moses approached God in the bush and he had to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground, how he had to, you know, bow down. We need to look at God as not our friend, but our Lord and our master and our creator. And we need to humble ourselves to his power and his glory. Oh, it's a wonderful thing what Jesus did. But we dare not take his sacrifice for granted. But anyway, God created man. And he created man in his own image. Just think about it. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Of all the creatures on this earth, God made man in his image. So when you're sitting around there getting mean at your brother or the neighbor or some person of another color or whatever, and you belittle this person, you're belittling an image bearer of God. You need to think about that. All were created in his image. And like I said about the climate change nonsense, God also said in verse 28, and God blessed them and said, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Notice, when we were talking about the plants, talking about the livestock, talking about all that stuff, God said, be fruitful and multiply. So he told man, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. climate change. Nonsense. We're supposed to use the fossil fuels God gave them to us. We're supposed to use, we're supposed to have babies. We're not supposed to stop cows from farting. It doesn't matter. We're supposed to use the beef. We're supposed to use everything that God gave us because he gave it to us. And we're not supposed to fear destroying the earth. What we should do is fear God and respect him. And God, like I said, God gave us this ability, this capacity to ponder our future, our existence beyond now. Every last one of us have that. There are those that try not to think about it. And there are those that understand. But everyone is going to cross that line from dead to alive. Physically, we will never die spiritually. We live forever. But you either live forever with God or without God. Now, I want to tell you before I close why I believe there is absolutely no such thing as an atheist. I thought I put this up here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, I did. The reason why there is absolutely no such thing as an atheist is this. We are hardwired to order. All of us. Every last one of us. Whether you call yourself an atheist, a believer, or not, all of us are hardwired to order. There's no getting around it. And the atheist is lying if he says he isn't. And I'll give you the example. There is not one person on this earth, unless, of course, they are mentally imbalanced, that does not expect the sun to rise in the morning. Everybody expects the sun to rise in the morning. Everybody expects to get up and there's light outside. If you truly believed in atheism, if you truly believed in disorder, if you truly believed that everything happened by chance, you wouldn't necessarily expect the sun to rise in the morning. And if you got up in the morning and it was pitch dark, and then at 9 o'clock it was pitch dark, and 12 noon it was pitch dark, it wouldn't upset you. But I dare say that everyone, if come 12 o'clock noon and it's pitch dark, would be terrified. Because everyone expects order in their universe. Everyone expects everything to happen on time. Those that suppress the truth and those that don't. And the only reason why you would expect that is because it's hardwired into you. And it's hardwired into you because God did that. Because like I said, back in Romans, God says that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And the truth is, you believe the sun's supposed to come up. And you're lying if you say you don't. And now you're like, oh, this is stupid. No, think about it. If everything is by chance, it's only by chance that the earth rotates on its axis and that you see a sunrise the next day. For what it can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, sunrise every day, and divine nature have been clearly perceived you expect to see that. Ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, everyone expects that. How can you expect that if you just think life is by chance? Think about it. Think about it. Your life depends on it. Not just your life in this world, but your life throughout eternity. And we need to think about our life throughout eternity, because we will live eternally. All of us are going to live eternally. All of us. We're either going to live eternally with God, or we're going to live eternally without God. The reason why I said so is because he says so. And you do not want to live eternally without God. You don't want nothing to do with that. It's not going to be a pleasant time. And then it's going to be too late to change your mind. Think about it. Talk to a Christian. They'll help you. A real one. Not one of these jokers that are playing church, but somebody who's a true disciple of Jesus Christ. This is Sam Tolley, and I'm out.